Hello and welcome back to Vox Burner's Youth Trends podcast. Now, we all know that Gen Z don't respond to ads the way we used to. Every ad has to speak only to them. So how do you get relevant ads to Gen Z? Well, today's sponsors at adlib.io know how to do ads. Global advertisers like Samsung, Sony and Estee Lauder are using their enterprise platform to produce and optimize digital ads with speed and scale. With adlib.io, ads launch on your schedule and are relevant to all Gen Z, and they look as awesome as you dream they'd be. So we've partnered with adlib.io for our up-and-coming YMS online event on July the 14th. So meet them there for a chat or head to adlib.io/YMS to find out more. Now, today's Youth Trends episode, we welcome Alexa Cam, Brand Director from the Gen Z Haircare Portfolio at P&G. And Alexa talks to us about how they've used their social channels to create the salon experience at home, their on-campus activations, and how Marvel has saved both Alexa and I during lockdown. Thank you so much for joining us for our Youth Trends podcast. Alexa, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
And remind me, you're calling in from, it's the US, yes? You're from the US.
From the US, from good old Cincinnati, Ohio.
Right. And what's the weather like there at the moment? All good? Or raining?
It's all good. It's sunny. It's a Friday. There is nothing but opportunity in the world today.
Look, that's a great way to kick things off. So Alexa, it'd be great to hear a bit about yourself, your background. So by all means.
Absolutely. So I'm Alexa Cam. I'm the brand director for our Gen Z haircare portfolio at P&G. The Aussie brand, which we'll chat about today, is sort of our flagship in this space. And I've been very lucky to lead that since last summer. Been at the company at P&G for 8 years. I've been in beauty the entire time. So I have a little bit of a bias toward hair and skincare. Probably we'll talk your ear off as it relates to those things if we ever meet at a bar. Sure. And, you know, most recently before this role, I led the creation and launch of several new haircare lines in the US, which was super fun for me. But yeah, I grew up in Cincinnati, still here. So loving to see it.
And Alexa, what is it about the health and beauty sector that you know, gives you such passion that, you know, you've been in it for quite a while?
I think that it's such an emotionally driven category that you learn so much about human psychology by virtue of how we approach our routines or the lack of a routine in some cases. But I think that it would be difficult for me to move to a very utilitarian category where you lose some of the emotion and the excitement behind purchase.
I can imagine. Thank you. I mean, look, Alexa, the past, you know, 12 months, you know, we've been at home. Some have been dyeing their hair themselves, hair cutting themselves, shaving it all off and all the rest of it. What have the last 12 months been like for you guys?
Well, luckily for everybody, I have not shaved my own head. It has been, we'll see how long this goes. Yeah. But it has been, I would say for me personally, it's been very freeing and challenging at the same time. My hair personally has gotten a lot of relief from heat tools, a lot more air dry days. But like many consumers, the days that I do have to do my hair have felt a bit like learning to ride a bike again, and I'm not the best bike rider either. So it's been kind of fun.
I see. And the hairdressers and all the rest of it, are they reopening in over in Cincinnati and so on?
They are in pockets. It's really, honestly, a virtue of who's been able to make it through quarantine and shutdowns, who's gotten the support that they need. But we've seen many, including my own salon, open safely with new restrictions on social distancing and mask wearing and services.
Of course. And Alexa, how are you and the team able to pivot and adapt your marketing plans, you know, for Aussie in light of COVID and, you know, the world shutting down?
You know, we've been lucky. Aussie has been a really digitally and socially led brand for several years now, but up until COVID, we still had some more of those traditional advertising vehicles, like your out of home billboards, that of course we deprioritized really quickly as people were not out of their homes. So we kind of pivoted away from that, as well as in-person events like BeautyCon, where we've had a blast bringing Aussie to life in the past. So, you know, obviously challenging at first, but it opened our eyes. And I think we were more receptive to some of the new capabilities and marketing possibilities that we hadn't fully explored before. For example, instead of doing those type of big events to introduce the launch of our new Waves and Coils product lines that we launched in January this year, we worked with Snapchat to create an AR experience to kind of replicate that. So consumers could walk through a curl type exhibit and explore and identify kind of different hair textures and see the products that we have, all without leaving their couch or their home.
Wow.
And like many people, right, we face challenges in the type of content that we create. We can't do these big production shoots because of product safety and the safety of the people who would go to those. So we had to think outside the box and leverage some of our phenomenal long-term relationships we have with influencers and other content creators to kind of have them produce on our behalf. And we've been leveraging those beyond where we normally would online and putting them all the way in displays in store, for example, where we wouldn't have featured that type of content before.
So I guess it's forced your hand to try new things and experiment. And thankfully, it seems to be working for sure.
Great. Absolutely.
And look, you know, Gen Z obviously is the focus of a Vox Burner and especially, you know, this Youth Trends podcast. What hair care trends have cropped up amongst Gen Z during, you know, the past year? And anything particular surprised you?
Yeah, you know, the thing about Gen Z is they have a tendency to amaze. And that's kind of where my surprise comes from. We obviously know that COVID was a destabilizing force for everyone, but it really challenged what we would call the psychographic foundation of Gen Z. And what we saw was them actually doubling down and thinking more broadly and deeply about the things that matter to them. And in hair care, we saw kind of two different trends. One was Gen Z started treating hair care more like a pillar of wellness. So rituals and products and behaviors started to be in the spirit of self-care. Oh, wow. And we saw that translate into sales, right? Like styling purchases, like hairsprays went down because who was styling their hair to go on a date or, you know, another social engagement, if you remember what those are like. But items in the treatment space, so think your deep conditioning masks, things like our 3-minute miracle treatment started to increase sales because people were looking for those little moments of indulgence. The other trend that we saw was kind of the opposite. It was around training hair, almost like you would train yourself in the gym. So people were taking advantage of sort of the plus side of quarantine, that expectations were being done up, were really done away with, even in Zoom and kind of Teams calls as people started to get really video meeting fatigued. And so we saw people with super fine and oily hair training their hair to go longer between washes because they didn't have to worry as much about those oily days. Sure. And then on the other side of the spectrum, which is more relevant to Aussie, we saw people with curly hair types from, you know, waves to curls to coils experimenting with more. And you'll appreciate this if you're a big TikTok fan like we are. This culminated for us in a viral TikTok video that we didn't create. A girl named Danielle did, where she was like, I think I might have curly hair. And she was kind of exploring it. And she used Aussie products while doing it. And it created this entire conversation on curl discovery. And so shout out to Danielle, first off, if you hear this, thank you for starting that curly hair discovery movement and for using Aussie Miracle Curls. But it really gave us some insights into how we approached marketing to curly girls in a way that presented less judgment and allowed them that experimentation that was becoming more common during quarantine.
Look, you must send us the link and we'll share it in the bio of the podcast.
So I will. I'll find it and send it to you right after. Right,
please do. Please do. Alexa, do you think that some of these habits that you've been talking about are going to stick? You know, sort of hopefully now things are, you know, easing up around the world. It'd be great to hear your thoughts on that.
I think we'll see a little bit of a mixed bag on this one. Some younger consumers have been able to adapt to doing their hair at home. We even see them taking on cutting and coloring responsibilities, whereas they might have done that in a salon before. But most of the consumers we talk to seem to indicate a desire to return to salons, even if those services might be a little bit more specialized, things that they wouldn't be able to do at home. I would say specifically Black women have disproportionately had to adapt outside of the salon since stylists play such a foundational role in hairstyle. Yeah. And we've heard really consistently from both those consumers and Black salon owners that it's been probably more difficult to experience these shutdowns. And I personally think that unfortunately, the degree to which people return to salons will be less informed by their desire to and more on who can make it through the quarantine period and reopen successfully. And that's frankly, for someone who's in the UK, why it's a little bit disheartening to see some of the reopening regulations restrict services by time or complexity, because it disproportionately impacts Black salon owners and consumers who can't just do a wash and go and a quick trim think braiding, protective styles, weaves, extensions, they inherently just take more time. So I'm hoping that with this rollout of vaccines and significant reductions in cases, we'll start to see those salons reopen more meaningfully.
Absolutely. I will, you know, fingers crossed that it seems to be going very well in the US in terms of that side of, you know, the vaccinations and whatnot. It seems to be going very well. So fingers
it
crossed.
Does. Yeah.
Thankfully. You know, we spoke a little bit earlier about Snapchat, and you referenced TikTok a moment ago. You know, great channels of health and beauty brand for all brands. But how are you working with them to bring your campaigns to life at a time where, you know, shows and exhibitions and whatnot were obviously, you know, put on hold?
Yeah, I mean, you guys heard a little bit about our Snapchat AR experience that we've been doing. But beyond that, both Snap and TikTok are really foundational elements of any of our marketing plans. We do paid placements on those channels. We boost influencer content and content kind of creators who share organically in those spaces. And we're always looking for new ways to kind of capture audiences and do things that feel more native to that platform. So we just did a partnership with Flighthouse on TikTok with some amazing Gen Z TikTok stars who were phenomenal to work with. Sienna and Jack, Lorraine and I, they all did kind of each other's hair with different challenges, like putting a blindfold on and like standing on one leg using Aussie products to kind of bring to like this idea of knowing your hair texture and what products to work with it can impact the way that your style turns out, with a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek approach that I think is just so inherent to TikTok. And you know, we just wanted to try it, see how it worked. I think we were expecting somewhere around 5 million views on that, and we got somewhere over 16 million and super strong engagement. So just learning a little bit about how people are interacting in those channels and wanting to see content that feels more organic and native to them.
Absolutely. And, you know, TikTok, Snapchat, very popular, very current. What are the channels do you feel are successful in helping you reach, you know, that Gen Z consumer? Any other platform?
Yeah. Every social platform plays a role with Gen Z. And I think we have a tendency to dismiss that and really only think about those that seem kind of on the forefront or kind of flagship. But Pinterest, for example, we really think of like millennial DIY home decor, which is absolutely how we use it as a millennial, I can tell you. But Pinterest is over 400 million monthly active users, and Gen Z is driving a lot of that growth. It's about 50% year over year. So one of the primary topics that they're looking for is beauty inspiration. And as we know, they're searching in that platform, they're looking for quick, kind of snackable how-to tips. So we pivoted our creative strategy on Pinterest to kind of create these influencer-led step-by-step pins to show them how to use some of our products on their own or as part of a routine. And those have actually performed really well for us on Pinterest. I think they have the highest overall engagement rate, not just for Aussie, but within our hair care portfolio. Not that we're competitive with each other, but you know, we are. Yeah. And I would say outside of that, YouTube, right? There are still people looking for beauty tutorials, and they're looking for girls who have hair like mine to know if that product's gonna work. And so many of our online video placements are in YouTube in those relevant content categories that can help us reinforce the positioning that we want to have as Aussie as sort of this no judgment resource for hair exploration when she's already in the mindset of searching for those tips and tricks.
Fantastic. Thank you. And Lexi, you know, Gen Z, they have high expectations when it comes to brands standing up for issues that they care about. Never more so than, you know, over the past year or so. It'd be great to hear a bit more about your partnership with Her Campus to support students during the pandemic and how that's impacted students.
Absolutely. Gen Z has faced a ton of unique challenges this year. Unfortunately, so many were graduating from high school and college right as the world shut down. And so not only are they missing out on those big in-person iconic moments in their lives, like graduation ceremonies, they also face this heightened uncertainty and anxiety about their future at a time in which obviously the world just fundamentally changed. There were a couple studies from University of Cal Berkeley, University of Rochester, that found 63% of Gen Z were worried the pandemic would impact their education. And then 59% worried it would impact their career prospects. But more importantly, this generation amazes me because they don't just like lay down and die in the face of these challenges. They take this sense of accountability and ownership, and they expect brands to do the same. So we took all of those insights and partnered with Her Campus to support Gen Z through those kind of tough transitions. And we presented a program called I'm Still Graduating, which was a virtual graduation ceremony for students from all over the country who just had theirs canceled and were missing that moment. More importantly, beyond that, we were having conversations in those environments with students and with her campus. And as students were sharing their fears about job offers getting pulled, and uncertainty from getting support from lenders or sponsors on kickstarting more entrepreneurial careers, we didn't want to leave them hanging. So we decided to extend our support beyond graduation to more career ambitions and launched with her campus a business plan competition. We got over 220 submissions. Our Aussie crew personally went through all of them, and we led a panel for top panelists to switch to basically pitch us their plans. And we selected 20 what we called Roo Crew Fellows for mentorship and awareness for their unique business plan for whatever they wanted to do. And we have 10 winners who are super diverse across race, ethnicity, gender, and they got personal mentorship from us as the Aussie business leaders, publicity, of course, through our marketing programs that we partnered with her campus. And then they each got $10,000 to fund their startups. And that was, I would say, one of the highlights of my career, to see everything from Black-owned fragrance companies to businesses improving accessibility for students with disabilities get a kickstart in a world in which they didn't know where their next dollar would come from in order to start their own businesses. And I got to tell you, nothing will make you feel more incompetent than standing next to an 18, 19, 20-year-old who has such a vision for the world and how they want to change it. So I'm absolutely humbled in their presence.
That's absolutely, what a great case study. You know, we speak a lot, you know, at Voxburn around, you know, what can brands be doing to help and empower young people today? And like, you know, yeah, what a great case study. That's fantastic. By all means, again, any more links around that, do share it. If you know, the listeners want to, you know, read up on it.
I've got plenty. I'd love for you guys to go check out some of these businesses. They're still growing and doing amazing things.
Absolutely. You know, got to support them. So Alexa, you know, it's been great to hear about, you know, the challenges, the success that you guys have had over the past year. A bit more about yourself. I mean, you've touched upon a highlight of your career so far being, you know, this initiative with her campus. I mean, any other standout moments of your career, hair related?
Absolutely. I would say that I have been so lucky to have a career where that's a hard question to answer. My favorite moments will always be those ones where I can use the power and the reach and the scale of brands I lead to make a statement on something that's more important than just hair. And frankly, like, as much as I would love to believe I'm a very influential person, my 900 followers on Instagram won't quite get the job done. So when we saw the pandemic hit last year, there were so many industries and individuals who were hit disproportionately hard. So across the brands that I manage, I was thrilled to be able to take our marketing dollars, right, that we would have used towards any of these ads, and make donations toward things like supporting restaurant workers, to these, of course, small business grants to get them off the ground, and perhaps most importantly, towards racial justice within this country.
Fantastic. Look, that's absolutely incredible. Put it to good use. And you know, for yourself, what would you like our listeners to know about you that maybe other people don't? It's always a fun question. Yeah. Any hidden talent, skills?
You know, I ask my friends this because I'm such an open book, perhaps to a fault at times. I'm like, is there anything people don't know about me? And the one thing that surprised them was that I am a very musically inclined person. I played the piano growing up. I love to sing. And so during quarantine, where we were trapped in our home and my dog could not possibly benefit from one more ounce of my attention, I taught myself how to read music again and started playing the piano after about a 10-year break. So that's been really fun and a nice departure from just watching TV all the time.
Look, absolutely. What are you watching at the moment? Anything, any standout shows for you?
Oh my gosh, I'm going to embarrass myself with this one, but I was so exhausted by just heavy things on TV and television that I went back and I watched every Marvel movie in timeline order to have a source of relief. So I'm a total nerd. I shouldn't have said that. My mom's going to call me, but it was fascinating. And I think the way that the Marvel creators have woven a narrative across each of these different franchises is a lesson for marketers everywhere.
Look, Alexa, I'm not just saying this, but yes, I have done the same. And I am currently on Ant-Man. I've just done Ant-Man.
Oh, man. You are right in the prime spot then. The rest of the world is going to take off for you.
Yeah, but look, to say trying to do one a week. But yeah, look, good thinking there.
That's lovely.
Alexa, what one key takeaway would you like to give our listeners today? Sort of you get back to their desks, in the morning or whenever, what should they action when they get back?
I would say we are losing the fine inherent art of humans to listen. We do a lot of talking. A lot of marketers think that our job is to speak the loudest and to make sure that our voice is heard. But so much of our success on Aussie and other Gen Z brands have been just sitting back and listening, including that TikTok video we started talking about from our friend Danielle. There are plenty of other opportunities where, based on comments, DMs, people tagging us in influencer content, we're learning not just the type of content that people want to see, but also the type of products that we should be launching. Everything that we launched came somewhere from an insight that we listened to on social in some capacity. So I would encourage all marketers, especially those who target Gen Z, take a step back, listen. This is not a quiet generation, and they will tell you exactly what they're looking for, but they will also hold you to that standard as you execute it.
Fantastic. Alexa, thank you so much for joining us for our podcast this morning. It's been great. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me.
A big thank you to Alexa for joining us for today's episode and the team at adlib.io, who you can meet live at YMS Online this July to talk more about how you can create personalized on-brand ads directly for Gen Z. Have a great week ahead and look forward to welcoming you back here next week for some more youth trends from Voxburner.